sleep without no clothes. I don't care if everybody knows. You might think it's a sin ever breaking, but I don't give a goddamn. I am a vile and a profane man. My God's bigger than your God. My God's bigger than yours. You might think there's only one God, but I say you're thinking's poor. 'Cause my God's bigger than yours.
We are Saturday Night Country, around Australia and around the world, on the web, and joining us now, and I'm very pleased he is, it's a special moment for us all, Bernie Leadon, welcome to the program.
Hey John, how are you today?
I'm fine. We're going to have a chat about your new solo album. It's been many years since you've put one out, and it's a fine record. And we just heard Vile and a Profane Man, the lead track of this this set called Mirror. Let's talk about that track as a lead into this set, Vile and Profane Man. And as we heard the words there, is this you, or is this someone that's inside of you?
Well, you know, I think everybody's got inside themselves the ability to be all sorts of people. And at times we get cranky and, you know, maybe go off on someone or something. And so I guess I was just sort of referring to, you know, making a joke of that, the fact that we all blow it from time to time. And then in the center there's that section that's sort of it's like a playground chant about my God's bigger than your God. That's sort of a, you know, political statement about how when there's wars, you know, the leaders always say, well, God's on our side and those other people are bastards, you know. And so therefore, it's okay to go kill them, you know. And it's hilarious. It's how we get manipulated by government. So, and then the funny thing is there was this big brouhaha in America about 6 weeks ago because some Pentagon general actually went to a church and gave a speech where he literally said the words, our God's bigger than their God, referring to the Muslim in the Middle East. And so I thought, there you go, I'm a prophet.
You are indeed a prophet.
Yeah, it's spelled P-R-O-F-I-T.
And not the other one. But Bernie, but this album, as we go through some of the other tracks and talk about it, Mirror, I mean, it's a mirror on you, and there's a lot of things that you've put into song here that are about you and about your own thoughts. You've just told us your own observations about that first track. But am I right in saying that? This is not a self-centered album, but it's one that looks at you inside?
It's autobiographical, I would say, you know, both in the literal sense of what I've done and where I've lived and where I grew up kind of thing. Actually, the track Center of the Universe does, you know, sort of talks about self-centeredness itself, you know, which is when we're children, you know, automatically we think that the universe revolves around us. And then as we get a bit older, we learn that maybe there's a community of people around. And of course, Earth still thinks we're the center of the universe, too. And maybe we're wrong. wrong about that, you know.
We'll go to the centre of the universe in just a moment. But why has it been so long then between this album as a solo enterprise and the other solo enterprise you had, what, somewhat 20-something years ago? Tell me how long ago it was.
Yeah, it was 26 or 7 years ago. And even that was sort of a fake solo record in that it was myself and one of my best friends, Michael Georgiadis. And it was sort of like we each did half of a solo album and called it the Bernie Michael Band, you know. But I guess the reason I haven't done too much solo work is I've tended to be a collaborator and be in bands. I think that's one of my strengths, you know, arranging and arranging harmonies, a bit of producing, you know. And also I like the collaboration. I mean, I've always enjoyed being in an ensemble. But it's just sort of become time to do the solo thing, you know. I just, you know, it's just shifted round to where that's what's more appealing to me now. It's perhaps just because I am so cranky that it's hard to get along with a group of guys.
Is that because you're cranky because not just of the world or the American events that surround you? Is it because you're getting to a certain stage in life where you're allowed to be a bit more cranky?
Yeah, I think so. I think crossing the threshold of 50, there's a certain freedom in that. You know, you're just, it's easier to decide what you're willing to put up with and also what's really important to you and what you want to spend your time on. So I've been writing quite a bit right the way through, Nashville being a town that honors songwriters. There's a lot of great songwriters here, and people do it every day like a craft, you know, like the old Tin Pan Alley kind of deal. And so I've been writing a lot and have this big satchel full of songs, and the question is, what am I going to do with them, you know? As soon as you get into a band, everybody wants to write new material for that band. Everybody wants to co-write. And that doesn't help getting the satchel of songs out that you've already written. So it was just time to do it, you know, to do the solo thing.
Well, let's hear Centre of the Universe and Back with Bernie Liebens. We talk about his solo album. It's called Mirror. Back in just a moment.
Thank you.
And there it was, the centre of the universe. So there are 10 fine songs on this solo album. It's called Mirror. Bernie Leadon's our very special guest. We're talking to him at his home in Nashville, Tennessee, and around Australia, Saturday Night Country. I'm John Nutting. Well, Bernie, are you enjoying going out actually promoting the album instead of being a collaborator and perhaps a producer on projects where you could probably sit back and let others do that for you? Are you enjoying promoting your work?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a bit challenging, you know. I mean, the funny thing is, it's easy these days to make a recording because the technology is more accessible to everyone. And then you make some CDs, and you know, you get distribution and whatever. And then it does sort of dawn on you one day, oh, I really do have to go promote this thing. And so I've been getting out and doing touring around and getting ready to do more. So I have an agent in Canada, an agent in the U.S., an agent in Europe, and actually a fellow now that's probably going to book me in Asia and hopefully Australia and New Zealand as well. So it's fun to get out and play, you know. And so I've assembled a band of guys to back me up. Some of them played on the record. In fact, David Kemper is a drummer on the record, and he's out playing with me. And Tommy Burroughs played fiddle and mandolin on the record, and he's out playing with me as well. So it's a lot of fun to be able to do my own thing. And the only real challenge is to keep one's ego in check.
Well, why would that be a challenge to you, Bernie? After
no, it's not. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, after all these years at a very a high level of the music industry, I'm sure, you can control that ego right now. Am I right?
Yeah. We've got it well collared.
Let's just talk about the on the road with those musicians. But I mean, you drew together a fine band of guys and one particular lady for this particular project. Did you decide on who you'd want on your record?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we should probably talk about Ethan Johns, you know, who produced it. So, of course, the beginning of the project was me writing a bunch of songs and then going to Ethan, and we decided to do the record together. So then we would talk about who to get to come play on it. Ethan and I had both been in Emmy Lou Harris's band. We toured with she and Linda Ronstadt a few years ago. And Emmy is just such a sweetheart and also so giving of her time. And so we knew that she'd probably come and sing on a couple tracks. And then we got David Kemper's an old buddy of mine from L.A., a great drummer who's been in Bob Dylan's band and played on his recent records and played with Jerry Garcia for many years. So David's just a great drummer. And so we invited him and got my friend Tommy Burroughs from Memphis and a few other players. And we were off.
And you were off. So how was the recording done then, Bernie? I mean, was it done with all you guys there and you putting down the music as we hear and then just doing the touch-ups afterwards? Was it?
Yeah. We did it the classic old way. We used all sort of 60s and 70s classic tube and ribbon microphone kind of gear. And there's a beautiful studio here in town in an old 1850s church. We did it the old way where you'd book the time and assemble the guys and do, you know, a couple weeks back to back where you can walk away in the evening and come back the next day and it's the same setup as you had. You can pick up where you left off. So we did all the tracks that way, all in one go, and then took the tapes down to my studio and took about another month to, you know, to finish them off and mix them.
Let's go to one of those tracks where Emmylou Harris does join you. It's called Backup Plan, the album Mirror. Bernie Leadon, my very special guest, for just a little while longer right here on Saturday Night Country around Australia and around the world on the web. Back in just a moment.
One foot in and one foot out. used to be what I'm about. Standing only, shifting sands. I don't have a backup plan. I knew a man in my hometown. 3 times took the marriage vow. 3 times wed, 3 times split. Said at least I'm willing to commit. I've been afraid to really live. Really taken, really. I wanna be a full-grown man. I don't have a backup plan.
There it was, the backup plan. We're with Bernie. Bernie Leadon's in Nashville. He's at home. We do thank him for his time and talking to us today as we talk about his album Mirror. Bernie, do you plan to... I mean, you did talk about earlier about an agent here for Asia. Do you plan to tour Australia, or is that a long way off, if at all?
Well, it's a bit farther away, I would say, in terms of priority. We're just having the record come out March the 23rd in the U.S. and Canada as well, and so... We're going to concentrate on North America until the fall, probably go to Europe in September and October. So probably it would have to be after the first of the year before I could come down that way.
Have you been here before?
Actually, I've been to New Zealand, but I've never been to Australia proper. No, to Australia, I've not. I cut the trip short that when I came down. I had intended to spend some time in New Zealand and come over, and it just didn't happen. So it's, I mean, but it's, you know, it's a big... empty spot on my dance card. I mean, I need to come down that way. You know, I mean, one has to cross this off. We've got to come and do Australia, you know.
Well, you've got to now, because I'll keep on about it, you see.
Okay, well, please do.
I will. Bernie, of course, you mentioned Ethan John's there, but the connection with Ethan's father, Glenn, of course, when you were in the Eagles, and he produced those records. And working father and son, are there any similarities at all?
Well, yeah, actually, I think there are. You know, Ethan being the next generation, I mean, he's in his mid-30s now, and he's completely a modern fellow, I think, you know, in terms of technique and styles and so forth. But he's had this real advantage of having grown up, you know, in his dad's household with all the respect that he has for his dad's work. And the thing that I was talking with some other people the other day about Ethan and why he's so unique, because he was able to sort of, you know, his dad was sort of his mentor, if you will. And it's so difficult for now for someone starting out to get the kind of experience of working with players live in a room for a week and a half, like, you know, like his dad would do and that Ethan knows how to do, and record them in one big acoustic space with one performer leaking into all the other microphones in the room. And so how you place all the microphones in the room and how you sort of conduct the emotional flow of the session is something that has to be learned through experience, and I think you sort of have to have a mentor. And the other thing is that those old classic acoustical spaces, those big studios that were built for orchestras, are increasingly rare, and more records are being made on laptops in a bedroom, you know. So, but Ethan is, I would say, carrying the torch for that method of, that old style method of recording, and does it really well. I mean, he's making, I think, classic records now, and he really understands how to do that.
Well, the bands that you've worked with over the years and up even to today, you've straddled all those technologies of recording. I mean, when you were with the Burrito Brothers and working with Graham Parsons, and you mentioned Emmylou Harris, there's the list of Dillardan Clark and all those. I mean, you did some of those sessions were in a technological sense fairly primitive compared to today, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, we had wind up recorders, and you know, one of them had a crank on the side like an old car. You know, you had to get out and crank it. And they'd smoke and bellow and belch. It was terrible, but we put up with it.
You did indeed. And, hey, before I let you go, Bernie, you put the CD Mirror out on a CD, but also out on vinyl. For those, and I quote, for those audiophiles, those analog junkies amongst us. What? Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is a great need for that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have bothered.
Well, I don't know about the need. I think that Ethan and I had a need to do it, believing that if you make an analog recording all the way through and really pay attention to quality, and then you make a really good analog transfer to LP, to vinyl, that can be the most honest and warm reproduction possible. So we did, in fact, do the whole record analog, mixed it analog, and so then vinyl is the analog copy that people can buy. And so we did it really on philosophical grounds more than anything else. we made 1,000 of them as a signed and numbered series that cost $50 a piece. So truthfully, I haven't even sold 100 of them yet, but, you know, maybe things will pick up later.
Well, I hope so, because you can do that through your website, and to have a signed vinyl by you and a limited edition of a fine record, may I say. I mean, it's a great collector's item and one that no one should miss, Bernie Leadon.
Well, thank you so much, John. It's, you know, you're so gracious, and I really appreciate your interest and support.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us around Australia, and you let us know when you come to Australia so we can have you in our studios in person and talk about your history, your music, and all the new projects you're on. And thanks for being with us today.